Welcome to Dread, Fright, and Brew, where your favorite horror movies are paired with craft brews and ciders from the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Your hosts this evening are Aaron Hatfield, Grace Schrick, and Lee Despain. Fear goes better with beer.
Well, that is very apropos.
Yes.
Did you just listen to yourself slur?
What?
Sorry.
I apropos your apropos, Lee.
I'm not.
What does he know apropos means?
No, he does not.
Oh, my God.
Which is okay.
Is that
stop swishing water in the microphone?
We can't know everyone.
Is that French? That's French, right? Apropos.
Francais, actually.
I think so. Apropos. It sounds French, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Les incompetents.
He learned his French from Home Alone.
Holy crap.
Yeah,
this sounds weird.
I know, right?
Yeah, this is super weird.
You should never give me new toys, dude.
No, we're getting used to it.
I don't know if it's the pre beers or the headphones that's causing all. I think it's mostly the headphones.
It's the headphones.
This is our first episode recording with headphones on.
We fancy.
We are fancy. Yeah, I find myself now waiting for silence in my headphone before I talk.
Yes,
like looking for that window to jump in.
Was the hope? So I stop interrupting everybody. So,
for the record, we need to label his because he might have used them as ball koozies.
Check this out, man.
When you're in the bathroom.
It cups each one beautifully. It's like
we need
like
to color code these.
I don't like that when his headphones are on his balls, I can still hear it.
Bum 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 bum.
Your balls have a heartbeat.
Hey, why is the left channel coming through way louder than the right channel?
Those are the ones that are still firing on all cylinders.
Oh, God.
All right. That side still's got the swimmers.
The swimmers.
But yeah, we're doing this thing to be like a real podcast. So here we go.
Well, I'm going to bring a fucking boom mic then next time.
Let's absolutely.
That's a movie, like radio not, shit.
I'm going to bring the thing that has a little satellite dish around it. All sounds
like the sidelines at the Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Oh jeez!
Don't give me toys. And
yeah, no, this is almost better than pre-gaming.
Well, we also
we
pre-gamed too.
Oh, did you? Oh, you guys did, didn't you? You came back from a thing.
Yeah, about we were drinking. An hour and a half ago, we ran off to the pub. So
oh, well, shit.
The local tap house, as it were.
Yes.
Anyway, so we watched a movie.
I keep waiting for Grace to do this.
Yeah, I did watch a movie.
I know, she does that a lot.
Oh, look at the way they spell lagers on there.
We watched a movie with a delightful Scottish man in it.
Which one is the delightful one?
Kevin McKidd.
Kevin McKinnon. Oh, yeah. Trainspotting
Cooper.
Guy.
Fucking, yeah.
Trainspotting.
Yeah.
Tommy.
Fucking blue-eyed Scotsman.
One of the Hannibals, too. Like Hannibal Rising or something like that.
You know, in IMDb, remember how we were talking about leading men in the movie Grizzly, and they were like ruggedly handsome, you know, leading men?
Well, you said they were ruggedly handsome. Yeah. We've never seen it, so we just heard your awkward description.
Multiple times.
Well, let me point out that
Lee had a boner.
Mr. Kevin McKidd.
Oh, here we go.
Oh.
Has a trademark of smoldering blue eyes and Scottish accent.
Fuck yeah, he does.
So
he does have both those things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Juan didn't know who he was. I knew exactly who he was.
I kept thinking that he was the guy.
That's crazy how she knows who
I kept
he
thinking
is.
He was the guy from 28 Days Later.
No.
In like the first 10 minutes. I haven't watched this movie in probably like 5 or 6 years. So it took me a while going, I don't think that is him. And it's not. But
Juan and I got an argument about whether or not he was in Grey's Anatomy, and I won. He is.
Oh, yeah.
He is. Grey's show, Grey's
Anatomy.
That's
his number one.
Because I shamefully watched that damn show.
250 episodes or something. Yeah. So he's like a main guy.
He's one of them.
But I didn't know you had a thing for him.
Well, I didn't know that because I've never seen
him. I'm sorry. He opens his mouth and Scottish accent comes out. Yes, I have a thing for him.
That's, yeah.
That's like me with the Australian accent on my ladies.
That's why you love Nicole Kidman.
If the Australian comes out, I'm like, oh.
Yeah, no. Scottish accent. So that's fair. I'm like, yep, I'm listening.
Yeah.
First time I heard or saw Aaron watch Nicole Kidman with that accent. It was the first time I've ever seen a man and the word moist apply.
First off, I haven't liked Nicole Kidman in like a decade.
It's been a little while.
She turned into Skeletor or some shit all of a sudden.
But before, sure, he doesn't like her
before Aaron had the big bones for it. Yep.
Yeah, and the Far and Away times and the...
That's right, it's just...
BMX kind of... Bandits, is that what you're talking about?
No, it's a little before.
It's just like you with Kate Beckinsale, so shut up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Fair enough.
But anyway, yeah.
But yeah, it's been a long time since...
In the Underworld
movies, yes.
What we're talking about, though, is Dog Soldiers.
Werewolf movie.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that explains a lot.
Way to ruin it for everyone. Yeah. Lee.
Spoiler.
I was like, what army do these dogs soldier for? I don't get it.
Not well, they, see... It... Okay, so I'm torn.
Are you?
Because you segued into a diatribe I was going to go into.
Go, man.
It might be too soon.
It's never too soon.
So, okay.
Well, it can be.
It always is.
We're
too soon.
We need to talk.
Can we talk?
Are you getting the notes out already?
I know. I wasn't ready for it. We need to talk about the PC-ness of werewolfism.
His pages are stapled too, by the way.
This sounds better than the last points I was trying to make about werewolfism, like, 20 episodes ago, so let's go with yours.
So,
all right. Here we go. There's a really tough word in here, too, so bear with me.
Do they roll around in the front yard? That's all I want to know.
That is one of the traits you must.
We all knew it was going to go there, too.
Yeah. I decided that seeing how we did, you know, we did American Werewolf in London eons ago, right? And I thought, hey, there's other stuff we could have tapped into, like the origins of... You know, the werewolf and the lycanthrope and all that stuff and, you know, things like that.
Use all the material right now. We got to stretch this for like
years.
That's what I'm saying.
All right, but there is something that came up here. I couldn't understand why the movie was called Dog Soldiers.
Yeah. So werewolves.
Yes.
Right. And I said, well, werewolves. But werewolves aren't dogs. They're part of the canine, you know, like family and all that. But they're not. So.
Really?
I mean, there's that loose connection.
That is true.
A dog
Every
is a wolf.
Every werewolf you see is wolf. You don't ever see a dog. You never see like a
They're
pug
descendants
werewolf.
Of.
But
They're
dogs
descendants
are descendants of?
Except for Frightown.
Wolves.
So that brought me to...
But you don't see like a Bichon Frise wolf.
The actual...
Dog beagles.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
But that brought me to the meanings of the words. In folklore, a werewolf is associated with lycanthropy, you know, that stuff, right? Which is basically a human with the ability to shapeshift into a wolf.
True.
Now, what movie absolutely OGs that? American Werewolf.
American Werewolf, yeah, because they don't do the whole bipedal. It's mostly a man, yeah.
But that's what everybody, you look at all these movies now, you've got Underworld.
Yeah, that's Lon Chaney's fault. He started that.
Yeah, exactly. You've got the werewolf, you've got Silver Bullet, right? The Howling, all those. That is not lycanthropy.
Okay, well, school us some.
That is,
some knowledge.
And I might have to have one of you guys try to pronounce this word.
Well, here we go.
Therentropy.
Sure, whatever.
So look at that word right there. Is that therentropy?
Therianthropy. Yeah.
Therianthropy.
Mm-hmm. And a...
He's going to take over my notes. I knew I shouldn't have done this.
Seriocephaly.
Now he's picking up words.
Crap, did you find this crap?
So it is, refers to a being which has animal familiarities such as the animal head, which is attached to an animalistic or anthropomorphic human body.
Okay.
So all the werewolfism that we're talking about and that we see in all these movies now, we're calling a lycanthrope, we're completely wrong.
Okay, everybody listening, we'll give you a dollar if you keep listening. Everybody gets a dollar.
Now, about 20 more minutes.
I get a dollar?
No, you're stuck.
Oh. You get that's the price you pay.
Damn it.
So the animal heads... Humanoid bodies, completely different name.
Like Donald Duck.
Therians, basically. Exactly.
Okay.
Which also made me think, are furries Therians?
No, furries
are a different thing.
They had their one episode. Well,
that's
that
a very different mermaid. Thing. Let's not mermaid. Talk about them.
Half human, half fish.
Now, dog
Yeah.
We're waiting.
Lycanthropism is actually called...
Now he's making shit up.
Canthropy. With a K. Pronounced with a K, but spelled with a C. That is actually...
Okay.
There's actually medical pathology that talks about people that think that they are dogs.
Yeah, he's right. It's too early to get into this.
So, dude, if I wanted to go into school, I'd still be in school.
So what's the lie? What's the lie, canthropy? What's the lie mean? What's the L-Y? Yeah.
It's Latin.
False.
What? Yeah.
It's Latin.
He just used lies. He can't have prepared. Trail. I want to know. I want to know this. How is it that Lee can say lycanthrope, but he can't fucking say Lagunitas?
you want to know something? Lagunitas. It took me all day to remember how to say
Lance Hendrickson.
Jesus. You can say all these big kid words, but you can't like read a basic name.
It took me all day to remember
for
how to say
sake, Lee.
Lycanthropy.
Sure.
Like if I don't think
so
about
he's
it,
all day at work, he's like lycanthropy.
I was like lycanthropy.
Would you like some lycanthropy with your bag?
How do I pronounce this? Lycanthropy? Lycanthropy.
To lycanthrope. No, so I wanted to get that just clear right out of there. I wasn't going to dive into this.
I think we need beer.
Sure.
Yeah. Lee, I need beer now.
There is a PC to werewolfism, and I think it's
so what was the point of this diatribe? Is that we're saying it wrong? That it should be called...
We're talking about a movie called Dog Soldier that features werewolves.
And
that are therianthropies that aren't actually
canthropies. I don't know that the name is necessarily referring to the werewolves as much as it's referring to the soldiers in a dogfight with werewolves.
Yeah.
Ooh. Look at you, Brainiac.
Yeah. See? Shit. That's why I bring these things up, man, because we got to go deep.
We're going to get a Facebook comment from Leo Marshall that's deep. Like, fuck you. Shut up.
I need alcohol if I have to keep listening to
Lee. I really wanted to create a topic that required us to go directly to the beer.
I do not come to this podcast to learn. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah. Hopefully no one does.
Damn it.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. You're ruining my...
So can I... I can still drink out of my Newcastle Werewolf glass, right?
Yes, you can.
I don't have to find
yeah,
like
you
a,
can, because
a dog
Lee's
glass.
It's special.
Yeah, as long as you only plan on turning into a wolf and not a wolf with, you know, human body parts.
I think I'm more Ursine. I'm a little more
bear-like. Oh, it's meant for Lee. We're all out.
Okay. Hey, we got a nice herbal tea for you. That's excellent.
It's a consolation prize.
Loose leaf.
Get him the tea bag.
That's right.
Oh, no tea bags. No. Keep your balls in your pants, boys.
Whoa, what?
Lee, give me a glass.
I mean, that's just good advice, but what?
I feel like that should be a rule during the podcast that balls have to stay in your pants.
I second. Motion's carried.
I think Deanne also passed it from the other
Leona.
Room.
There you go.
Thank you, sir. I just want to say that I, at a sitting position, could place my testicles on top of the table.
That's gross.
Hmm. I think I didn't need to know that. Yeah.
You can have the little extra.
Yeah, give me the extra, please.
Because you just visualized Lee's balls on your table.
Yeah. Okay, look. I've shared.
No, let's not look.
Nope. I've shared. I've given.
Now if I hear a zipper, I'm leaving.
We can't do zippers. Those things are Velcro in. You know it.
He does have Velcro shoes. Oh, wait, those are his mom's.
Too soon.
That was the most funniest day ever.
I don't know. I'm starting to think that was the highlight of your career.
Lee.
We're going down.
You're
going to
have a whole novel of Lee-isms, trust me. It could go on for, it's like War and Peace. Trust me.
Hey, so this is a first time for us.
Woo-hoo!
We are featuring the same brewery we have featured before. So we're coming full circle.
Is that really the first time we've done that?
Yeah, it's the first time. No, we've had guest beers.
Oh, we've had guest beers that have recircled. Okay.
But this is the first time we've paired the same brewery twice, and so well-deserved. So we're doing Bearlick Brewing. We're doing their Night Howler Imperial Stout.
And it is delicious.
Because, you know,
Therianthropes.
Yeah.
Bearlickanthropy.
Yes.
Bearlickanthrope.
Yes.
So on the side of the can, it's all, in the dead of night, darkness comes alive. The night howler wails death's lullaby.
Oh, spooky.
See? That sounds like werewolves or something you want to cuddle up to.
There's a way simpler way to say what Lee, like, rambled about.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wolves go, there you go.
Juan.
That's the whole thing.
Do it again.
What?
Do your howling.
There it is.
face has to go along with it, man.
Head tilts to the side, like.
Oh, head tilt. That brings me to a trivia fact we'll talk about later. Hey, so this is really, really
good. Teen Wolf, motherfucker.
This is fucking delicious.
So the last Bear Lake we did was on episode 13, and we were doing Pontypool.
Yeah, we did New Noise.
And we did New Noise IPA, and it was great. Phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
And this beer is super good.
This
is
really
good.
This is a perfect example of why I love Bear Lake. They can do everything from, like, West Coast IPAs to super chill lagers like Dad Beer to things like this, which is a big BC Imperial Stout that's 10% alcohol but doesn't taste like it.
It does not.
It's super smooth, really roasty. It's freaking delicious.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
It is dangerous. It is like a dog. It's sneaky like a werewolf. Nice work.
You know what? I think it's awesome. Perfect, too, because some of the beers we've gone off by name, and they're, you know, like some fucking IPA or something like that, which should have been more...
Yeah, like a fucking, you know, IPA. Like, who drinks that shit?
Right, exactly. This, however, fucking screams, you know, beastly and fucking werewolf.
Did you chug that?
Goddamn straight out.
Damn, Jesus,
oh my God.
He's back on the horse. Look
that's
at this
10%
guy.
Alcohol. The dangler's he's back. In there, buddy.
Oh, yeah, no, it's going to be great to see what 5 weeks of sobriety does
now.
Oh,
no.
I officially take back 10% of all the shit I've given you.
I sense him sleeping in the parking lot of McDonald's.
On the way home. Yeah. Have they painted off a space for you there?
I do not know from which you refer.
But you're right, though. This I mean, this is a manly, tough, strong, heavy...
I take offense to that.
Offensive beer. No. I'm
part of the reason, her too.
Part of the reason I use that word is that just 4 or 5 days ago, I believe it was... Oh, gosh. Was it Dread Central? Put a post up from one of their writers. It was the most asinine thing I've ever read. Which seemed to be everyone's thoughts on it. But they said Dog Soldiers is a feminist movie.
What the fuck?
What? Yeah. And they wrote this huge story on it saying basically the ideals of the main character in that he's more sensitive. He's a little more caring. He won't, you know, hurt the animal at the beginning.
So he's human?
Yeah, he's human. But everyone has to make that like...
Well, he's a doctor.
He's not a guy. There's only one female in the movie, and she's a bitch.
Yeah, things go bad with her. Yeah,
ball busting.
Anyways, it was a terrible.
He's a chief of staff. Come on now.
It was a terrible article
to hurt people. Come on.
Did you just hear him? He just made a Grey's Anatomy reference for the record. Because he's ruined.
Yeah.
I just thought I would like.
Have you made him watch that?
I did not make him. I was watching it, and now he...
She made me watch it, and now I have to watch it.
No, I did not make him watch it. He became addicted, and now I'm not allowed to watch it unless he's there.
Oh, jeez.
I don't like it anymore. So, ruined. It's stupid now.
Ruined.
In the sense of sharing and being a bro, my lady made me watch quite a bit of Sex and the City.
Oh,
that's worse.
And, hold on. And I got very supportive of it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to buy some seasons because you really like the show, but... I never got hooked or watched it on
but
purpose.
But you did watch Project One Ray. So guess
what? Well, it's Tim Gunn. He's fabulous.
Is he dapper?
So I think
is he dapper?
In Juan's defense, there's some fairly hot doctors in that movie, in that show that he watches.
It could be a good show. I've just never seen it.
I think he just likes to look at the pretty girls.
Hmm. See, that's a good reason. That's a very good reason. Instead of being like watching that carrot chomping Jessica Sarah Parker horse face.
Oh, horse face? Nice. Yeah. Sea biscuit? Oh, yeah. No. We're not talking about sea biscuit. No. Would you like a carrot? Come here.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Do you lightly stroke her?
Wow. Stop stroking. Anyway, so Dark Soldiers.
So anyways, yeah, I don't see this movie in that way. I see it more as
how much did he pregame?
Too much.
Dude, you don't get me going on Sarah Jessica Parker.
You
trust me.
Okay, no more horse face. Shh. Oh my God. Aaron's talking. We're trying to.
I don't see this film that way at all.
No, I really don't either.
It's more about just being a decent person or being a...
Yeah, no, he's a human.
A warmongering asshole.
Like, I mean...
Very little about the sexes in this film.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, the movie opens up... One with the ultimate cock block, but after that, you realize that he's a human because he won't shoot a dog for no reason.
Sure. I think
which the reason... who would? Fuck yeah. that. Unless yeah. you're a monster, who's going to shoot a killer. Dog that's for right. no reason? Yeah, that's true. Unless you're a budding serial killer. That's different.
Yeah. I think the reason this film got that attention is because this is Neil Marshall. This mm-hmm. is the guy who directed and wrote The Descent.
Descent, yep.
Which was which is totally woman empowering.
Yeah.
Well, he's known for having film. Strong female characters.
Sure.
Back in Doomsday as well. He also did Doomsday.
See, oh, I own that and I've never watched it. Is it good?
It's, well, yeah. yeah.
It's,
yeah.
It's good.
Never seen
it.
Has,
I haven't seen it.
Rhona Mitra in it.
Yeah, Rhona Mitra.
Which I'm a big fan.
It's kind of apocalyptic yeah. kind of.
Yeah. And it's in good. Fact, I like it. Two of the actors, I think it was Emma Cleesby, who played the girl we're talking about in Dog Soldiers, and okay. I think even was it?
It has Sean Pertwee, yeah.
Pertwee, yeah.
He's also in both in Doomsday,
yeah. So there was that reuse there.
Which one was Sean?
Which was
is
also
that the
by
Ryan guy.
He was the sergeant.
The sergeant. Okay.
Was the kind yeah. of okay. good guy sergeant.
Who I buddy. Love that guy. Mm-hmm. Ever since like Event Horizon, I loved that guy. And he was on The Walking Dead for a couple episodes, too.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out where I had seen him. I was like, where had I seen him? Where have I seen him? Why do I know him?
Yeah.
He's he's Alfred in the new Gotham series.
Oh
shit, you're so right.
Yeah. And I was like, holy crap. And then I started digging into him. Yeah. And this is what I love. Now, you guys can't blame me for this. This
yes,
is not me.
We're going to anyways, but go ahead.
Pardon me.
Potatoes.
This is not me. This is simply the topics that we're picking, the movies that we're watching. I am beginning to think that it's no longer 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon as it is 7 degrees of Doctor Who.
Oh,
there we go. There's the look I was looking for. Because old Sean. Because
everyone's got to slum it first.
Old Sean
make it,
right? Pertwee's dad,
okay.
John Pertwee, was the third Doctor.
Well, if you had really
I would know
your...
that if I ever took the time to watch that show, but I bet should. I should watch.
From 1970 to 1974.
I would rather watch Sex and the City than Doctor Who. I'll tell you that right now.
He'd rather watch Grey's Anatomy.
Yes.
There were multiple people when I was looking at the actors and actresses and stuff. There's multiple people in this that have been on Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Because they're all from the UK. So.
Well, of course. Everybody's
I mean, like,
in Doctor Who.
That have actually been in it. Not like their dad or whatever shoddy shit factoid you just.
Whatever.
The Weeping Angels are in it, too.
That's right. I didn't write any of those down because I don't want to say the words Doctor Who. If I'm
Which is
know,
why
right?
it's my responsibility
Doctor
to bring it up.
Who?
That's fair.
Yep.
Kevin McKidd. Yum. Also in this film. Main character. Yeah. That's exactly what we're talking about. Trainspotting, Hannibal Rising. So here's a fun thing about his character.
He's dreamy.
When he started this film and he was doing some of the stunts and the acting, he basically
PTSD.
Throws his hip out. Ooh. He can barely walk. He's in Whoa. Tons of pain. And the director goes, you can't do this. It's a very physical role. You're out. So we're going to get this other dude named Jason Statham to do it.
Oh, shit.
So he's going to be the lead in this film. Because he's still at this point, like, not, you know, this is pre-Crank and pre some of those that really, really made him super popular.
You know, I love Kevin McKidd, but I still would have been okay with that.
So they call Statham up and he's like, oh, sorry, turns out I can't because I just took this other role and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, well, shit. So they let Kevin McKidd heal and then brought him in to do a bunch of scenes later. But yeah, we almost had a Jason Statham Dog Shoulder.
Fuck.
Wow. That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Let me up the ante for you guys then if we're talking hunky dreams because another really awesome actor was offered a role in this film too.
Oh.
Yeah. Mr. Simon Pegg.
Yes.
A trifecta of yum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put him in that category, but then
not even close.
Some secrets.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, he turned it down.
I realize he might do it for you.
I learn more about you every podcast, Lee.
Simon Pegg, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Really?
No,
him on the same level as Kevin McKidd and fucking Jason Statham.
He's no Viggo Mortensen. That's all.
That's true.
Yeah.
No, he turned it down to do Shaun of the Dead, which,
good for that.
Well, actually, Shaun of the Dead came out 2 years later, but he was already talking with the director of those films.
Yeah.
And that director said, please don't do a horror movie before you do Shaun of the Dead.
Make this your first one.
I want this to be your first horror movie. And he said, okay.
That was only 2 years later. For some reason, yeah. I really felt like this movie was older than that.
Yeah, when was this movie? This was 2002?
Oh, Dog I thought Soldiers? This was way older than that.
No, this is 2002. Yes. It looks it has way that older
vibe.
Because, and I don't know, man, this kind of came out of like the 28 Days Later and a bunch of other things when I've watched. Well, that one was because it was all on video. It was one of the first complete HD video films. But it looks real jank.
Yeah.
And that came as a surprise. And I've seen this movie several times.
I like it, and I think they did a great job, but I honestly thought it was like maybe 90s.
Why I've blown over it, because I thought it was like...
Also, oh, Kevin McKidd looks like he's a fucking baby in this.
Well, this is how jank it looks. I put on the DVD that I own last night, and we start watching it, me and Deanne, and literally less than 5 minutes of it, I was like, I can't watch this. I can't. It looks that terrible. So I took it out and loaded up Amazon and streamed it on Amazon because I figured at least it was the new print because Amazon has the print that made the Blu-ray, which almost didn't exist. And that's a whole other factoid. But yeah, it's dated.
Well, when you watch the first opening scene, it does. It comes across 1979's like Friday the 13th. Like,
yeah, it's just really it's dark. It's grainy. Yeah. The camera work. Although, doesn't really help because it's very frantic and all over the place.
But. I will tell you, I actually got drawn in immediately. One, because I love the fact that the British gal insulted the boyfriend by, oh, aren't you a pretty big blouse? Which the British have an amazing way of insulting people. And
I wish I had written down all the little
Oh, there was a lot of little one-liners. I also thought it was really funny that like half these British guys were definitely Scottish.
Yeah, several of them.
But then the one thing that I always fear, and this is an active thing, is when I love camping, but my God, if I ever hear the fucking zipper on my tent start moving.
So I said zippers and I'm out.
I swear to God.
That's what Lee says too.
I am just firing blindly into the front of my tent.
Reminds me of the comedy bit where the Bigfoot is unzipping the tent going, shh, just let it happen.
But that to me, oh my God, that would freak me the shit out.
Worse than a cab ride?
Yeah.
Worse than what?
Worse than a cab ride?
It is.
Hey, Lee, let's go camping.
It is the taxi driver that drove me to the campsite that's now unzipping my tent. That's how terrifying it is. We went camping up at Mount Hood like, I don't know, 3 years ago, me and Rose.
Okay.
And 2 o'clock in the morning, I had to get up and I had to go to the bathroom. And the ranger had said, hey.
Because prostates, right? Am I right?
Prostates.
Was he looking for picnic baskets?
No. Well, and that's, no, but the ranger said, hey, man, there's been, you know, cat prints out by the shore and things like that. So, you know, just, you know, watch it. No sightings or anything. So I get up. I'm like, hey, Rose, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll be right back. Hopefully, you know, a cougar won't get me. So I unzip the thing. I go out. I zip it up. And as I'm walking the way, I hear her in the tent going, here, kitty, 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 kitty.
Go, Rose.
Fucking pitch black. You know, so that, yeah.
That's something you do, too.
That's totally something I would do. Except for I'd be throwing snacks out.
I was going to say, this one would, like, hide bacon be like, in your pockets.
Yeah, exactly. Here's some jerky.
Oh, I can pet that cat. No, you can't. It's going to maul your face. No, but I can sit there and put my arms around it and love him and hug him and call him George. Yeah, exactly.
Instead of giving Juan a roll of toilet paper, you would have given him a fucking pork chop.
It's for that very reason that I think Dog Soldier still works. Because it's still held as one of the best werewolf movies ever. When you talk to fans, they're like, oh, it's my favorite. You know, I don't know, best slash favorite, whatever you want to call it. But people love this film. And I think it's because they set it up in such a way that they don't have to tackle the, why don't they just call on their cell phone? Or, you know, why don't they just drive to town? Or all the things that hurt some dated movies nowadays, because we just see reality differently with cell phone and internet and communication and all that kind of stuff.
But they're already out in the middle of fucking
nowhere. They're military guys. They're not going to have cell phones on their person. You know, they're doing military stuff. They show the one radio they had get ruined.
Exactly.
And they're at this, you know, remote location in the woods. So
I love the fact that it's also a training exercise. At least that's what they show
so
you.
So they're
for
shooting
the most
blanks part. Initially.
Yeah, they got no real weapons. Yep. And you're like, oh, fuck me, man.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, that's the way these exercises are. You go off grid for a couple days and then you come back in and they tell you how you did. So it's, you know, it's not like they were in constant communication with anybody or being watched. So it all smacks of still very believable. the scenario they find themselves in. I thought that was pretty cool.
I think one of the reasons that I like this one is for the first, at least third, almost half of the movie, you don't see the werewolf.
True.
Which I love. I love that, like, sneak attack. You hear the sounds. You know something's going on. You know there's some sort of monster, and it has that very much that monster movie vibe.
Yeah.
Of, you know, I mean, the opening scene where they're about to get busy and the girl gets ripped out of the...
Yeah.
You don't see what the hell takes her out of the tent. You only see the
boyfriend, like, trying to pull her
back. Yeah, you see the boyfriend trying to save her. And then even, like, the second...
You saved half of her.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, and then even the like the second kill, I think it was Percy or Pierce or something.
Something like that.
One of the soldiers that got, one of the first soldiers that went down out of their little group.
Yeah.
You don't even see it then.
Mm-mm. You just see him on the ground.
You, eventually you see a little bit of a, like a claw or something at one point. But other than that, you just see him ripped to shreds.
Yep.
So I like that suspense of not knowing what the hell's attacking them.
Sure.
And I think that adds to the movie. I mean, eventually you get that good reveal.
Oh, they're just huge.
These are some of my favorite theories.
Yeah, Therampathies.
Some of my favorite werewolves.
Fucking werewolf.
They really are some of my favorite. And I didn't notice until I was watching it with Deanne last night. And of course, when you're watching something to review, you're paying more attention, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, these werewolves smack of, speaking about dogs, they look like dogs.
They do.
Thin legs, thin arms, long-limbed, very slender bodies, and then big heads with a lot of fur. Like,
yeah, save the head. They're like the greyhounds.
Yeah, which if you shave just about any dog, that's how they all look.
Yeah, well, they're just straight muscle.
Maybe not a boxer or some shit or some pug, English or bulldog or something.
Boston Terrier.
Yeah, not
your
a Boston
Terrier. Not so much.
Yeah, what if Pips was a soldier? Dude, wear Pips, dude.
Pips, the most useless soldier of all time.
Beat down your door and then raid your fridge.
She'd be like, I has treats.
Yeah,
I has treats.
He'd be like, please don't hurt me. She'd be like, no, no, no.
She's like, do you have salami?
No. Good grief.
She would only go after Sky Racing.
But no, I love the design. It's good and really creepy.
I agree.
And
how much do we know is practical? Because I'm trying to compare these to Underworld werewolves, which I thought were amazing, but these take the cake.
Sure.
I feel like a lot of this movie was practical effects.
There's a factoid, and I'm going to try not even to look at my notes because there's...
He printed a Lee stack.
But he did say that he was very... when I say he, Neil Marshall, the writer-director, he said he was extremely hesitant to use any CGI because whenever... shows how smart this guy is. Whenever you use any CGI, it becomes more about people saying, oh, it looked good, or oh, it looked kind of bad, or oh, I could totally tell it was CGI, than it does about the moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, practical effects.
That's... They were good.
And they did some gross ones. Like, he did a lot of, like... sausage guts and just like gnarly, like the one guy when his intestines are falling out and they're just like trying to shove him back in.
Oh yeah,
or like, the here, dog, just hold this.
Or the dog's like pulling on him.
Oh my god, that's the best.
Apparently, the dog was originally supposed to have a mouthful of intestine and trying to rip it out of him. Like, oh, I'm gonna eat this.
But yeah,
they changed it to the bandages later.
So it's not quite as disgusting.
I always thought it was intestine.
I thought it was too until this last time when I watched it and I was like, oh, that is a bandage.
Yeah.
Because, the first time I saw it, I definitely thought he had some intestines.
This is a good beer.
This is so
good. This beer is amazing. So good. Too bad Lee chugged his.
I know I'm missing it already.
I wish we had more, to be quite honest with you.
This is a...
I should have brought more.
Well, maybe it's...
I have more in my store, so I can get us more, just for drinking purposes. Cause
if you pretty big blouses weren't still half full with beer, maybe it would have been time for the guest beer, but I guess I'll have to
I'm waiting for mine to properly warm, Princess.
It's warming in my belly.
Yeah, but you're not going to taste it in your belly. Yeah,
don't get all excited just because this is the first beer you've had in
exactly.
This is like the third beer I've had today.
Would you like an Arnold Palmer?
That sounds dirty. That sounds dirty, and I don't want one.
It kind of does, doesn't it? Yeah.
It's an actual drink.
It is a drink, or a fist bump.
Oh, our fridge is loaded with it all the time.
Yeah, thank you. I didn't say you want to clean the steamer. No.
What?
So let's talk about something I always talk about. which the is soundtrack? The music. I'm always like, oh, the soundtrack. Oh, the music. No, no, no. But here's the flipsies. It's not so great.
No.
It's really awkward.
Yeah. It actually, there were times that the music kind of pulled me out of this film, which is the first time
I've seen that. I got that too.
And so I was like, I kind of want to talk about the soundtrack again, just because now it's the other way.
There were definitely a couple moments where I was like, what is even happening with the music right now?
Yeah, by a guy named Mark Thomas, who I guess this is one of his very first scores he ever did for a film. And he did some really creative things in it. Like, there's moments where they worked into the theme of, like, Company of Wolves. Like, they paid tributes to some other werewolf movies in the music, which I get.
That's cool. So for nobody notices that when you're watching a film.
No, and it only, the music was only non-noticeable in the downtimes. In the times when it was, like, action and, you know, things are moving and you want that really good score to kind of take
it
you on that
ride. It didn't have the right pace.
You don't want a Danny Elfman doing your score. Nah.
But in his defense, in turns out Mark Thomas he started as just a violin player in orchestras, and he played on, speaking of Danny Elfman, on Danny Elfman's Batman.
Oh, really?
And Willow, which I love Willow's Willow. And Highlander and Rambo fucking 3.
Oh, shit.
It's a really
nobody knows
weird,
Rambo 3, but...
I do.
Shit.
Yeah.
It's on the Amazon, you should watch it.
Well, I mean, Rambo 3 is legit, dude. But I wouldn't know that damn
Rambo 3, dude, is legit, dude.
Of course you've seen Rambo 3.
Anyway, so my point is this guy should probably just stick to playing music and maybe not. For me, anyways.
I can't say that I even noticed now that I think about it.
I didn't either.
That might be the best.
That's I mean, and honestly,
we don't notice those things.
That's how a score should be.
No.
Is it should add to the ambiance of the movie, but it shouldn't be something that you pay that close of attention to. It shouldn't pull you out of what you're watching. And I only noticed it on this one because it did kind of pull me out. And there were some moments where I was like, what the fuck is this song? What is happening?
Yep. And some of the music stuff is just like a lot of the dialogue and also some of the film scenes where Neil Marshall was obsessed with paying homage to other films, and I'm sure you've got some written
down. Yeah, tons in here.
There's so many. Even he has quoted in interviews as saying, I went a little overboard. I got a little carried away.
But that's what I love about nowadays. You don't see this so much in you know, the golden age of TV and all that, but there's so much out there, so much inspiration.
In your golden age?
But was his... This wasn't his first movie, right?
Neil Marshall?
No.
Yeah.
This was his first
feature film and first writing. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, so he learned.
He had only done short films before
but
this.
He learned.
So Doomsday came after.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh, okay. Actually, that
Doomsday.
Makes sense.
And then you know, this Descent. Is the guy doing the new Hellboy, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why I want to see it.
Yeah.
But he learned his craft. Like, he admitted his faults. Descent was really good. Descent was amazing.
I got to tell you, for a first film and an independent,
and it's very good.
This rules.
It's fucking rad.
But
yeah, it rules.
You can see where he's progressed.
Sure.
As a filmmaker, yeah. Which gives Hellboy a lot of
And help. He brings a lot of his own crew with him. Like, he brought Sean Pertree into some of his other films. He brought his cinematographer. He brought a lot of people that worked with him on this into his other films. So that.
Yeah, I mean even like the people that he's associated with, like his ex-wife, for instance, she went on to become very horror centric. She was a journalist, actually a well respected journalist, and went by direction of film, you know, loved that, went horror, wrote an incredible book, Horror Movies in the New Millennium, actually, that got very high praise. And she's very well known in the horror circuit.
This is Neil Marshall's?
Neil Marshall's
That's cool.
Yeah. So, I mean,
a little John Carpenter and, I totally forgot her name. Hill?
Deborah
From Halloween?
Yeah, my brain like froze right the fuck up. Yeah, yeah. Where she kind of started with him and then eventually did her own thing. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I like that. There's so much information out there out now. Directors are playing a lot of Easter eggs and a lot of, you know, homages. The director loved H.G. Wells, so he named the sergeant you know, Henry G. Wells, you know, just the way to play around and say, if I'm going to make a movie, man, I'm going to throw some of my own personal shit
How about There Is No Spoon?
There is no spoon. That's debated on whether or not it was a Matrix reference or not.
It was, the line was, the character name was not. Right. The character was named Spoon or nicknamed Spoon long before, and then as filming was going, they were like, you know, spoiler alert, Spoon dies. And someone's like, where's Spoon? And they go, there is no spoon.
Yeah, which I caught that immediately.
Yeah, I did not catch
the
that.
The reference was on purpose. There's also a character named Bruce Campbell, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Which is a pretty non-veiled reference. Yeah. Lots of fun stuff like that. There's references to Star Trek II.
Khan.
Rather Khan, baby.
God, all sorts of stuff.
Because the guy says something about this is a no-win scenario.
Yeah, well, he actually calls it a Kobayashi Maru. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
All of this I knew before I looked at.
Oh, sure, didn't you just
the interwebs? Yeah.
No, I caught like the There Is No Spoon, and that was about it.
Yeah.
But no, I learned a bunch of new
weird Scottish and British insults, but that was about it.
Those were all.
Somebody actually went into this film and figured out when the film occurs. They figured out what days of the calendar year this film takes place on.
What?
Because they're talking about the footy the whole time. They're talking about their football match.
Yeah.
Between England and Germany. And then they started talking about the score and all that kind of stuff. And so they said the film has to take place either on the 1st or 2nd of September because England did indeed beat Germany 5-1 on the night of the 1st, and it was a full moon. So he may have even gotten that in-depth into planning when he nailed
what
the film.
What a goober.
Yeah. I also saw a thing on the internet the other day, tangent, where somebody figured out what day of the week it is in... Oh, shit, I don't know my rap music the way I should. it was a good day.
Ice Cube, dude.
Thank you. Today somebody was a good day. Figured out what day was a good day.
Oh, I remember that. I read that, too.
It's hilarious.
Oh, my God, that was the funniest
fucking
thing
They take all the
ever.
Lines of the film... And put it into, like, what sports teams he mentions and what, like...
They find out the actual good day.
And they actually tell you.
They're like, crazy. On this day,
today
was
a good day is this
had
day.
A good day.
Well,
so funny.
But he had to use his AK, so it was not a good day.
Well, that's... Yeah. Any day I use my AK is a great
day. No, dude. If you don't have to use your AK, it's a good day. That's Ice Cube.
There's all these crazy-ass savants out there figuring this shit out. I don't feel too worthy of a, like... Speaking.
How, no, I don't know honest. That yeah. You should say savant. People with way too much fucking time on their hands is what that is.
It's a thissio.
Yeah, yeah.
Thissio right.
That guy.
What?
Hey, don't turn that back on me.
Sometimes you guys have too much time on your hands.
Well, there's a difference between the wolf ones and the dog
Look,
ones.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Aaron. That guy.
If we're going to talk, we're right. For the second time. We need some clarity, man.
Jesus, what's going to happen if we talk philanthropist. About a third
I want to point out, as I just come across this piece in my note, which I didn't know until just now,
shit.
Might be worth talking about. I don't know. Shit. Neil Marshall claims that he wrote this film here as a knee-jerk reaction to American Werewolf in London because he thought it was terrible.
No.
No?
American Werewolf in Paris.
Paris.
Because he thought it was terrible. Because it fucking is.
Thank you. I haven't seen
it. It is terrible.
I did the same thing.
Horrible.
I saw the same
tidbit. I haven't seen Paris.
And was like, what?
Okay, that's not nearly as shocking as I originally glanced at.
I'll admit.
Nobody can hate on London.
No.
I usually don't go by the reviews and people's whatever to see a movie. I'm like, I'll watch it or whatnot. But I've never seen American Werewolf in Paris. And it was directly because of just everyone talking shit about that movie.
You chose wisely.
And I'll say I did. Because I love the original so much. I'm like, they're talking so much shit about it. Nah, I'm not going to go there.
And why? Why on earth?
Well, also, it took, like...
Would his son be wanting to do a remake of London?
Yeah.
Whose son?
Fucking John Landis or whoever.
His son wants to remake it? How have I not seen that?
American Werewolf in London.
Well, he wants to remake
fuck
London?
Right off.
He wants no. Yeah. Don't remake something that's...
And his dad said, you can fuck right off. Don't do it.
Good.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Sawed off.
Knew we liked that guy.
Sawed off, mate.
Yep.
Yeah, no. Come on.
Yeah, man. No, seriously.
Come on.
Yeah.
You do not need to remake that movie.
By the way, we talked a lot about the cast of this movie. We didn't talk about Liam Cunningham. I just saw my note. I have to say it.
Say it.
It's...
Say it proud.
Davos. Davos Seaworth from Game of Thrones. He's like my favorite goddamn.
Do none of you guys watch Game of Thrones?
Holy fuck!
I know.
Hey, I'm a little behind on the TVs.
They got a midget and they had a red wedding. That's all I know.
The only thing I know about Game of Thrones is that Jason.
That's like half of it.
Mumbo, a lot of boobs. A
lot of boobs.
Yeah.
Which I need to see this.
I just haven't gotten around to it.
We actually even have, we have the seasons.
Yeah, we got to find that shit. I know.
Yeah, I gave
all the seasons.
Games. Not all of them, though, right?
Like the first five.
I know. We need to find this shit.
And a bonus movie.
What bonus movie?
What bonus movie?
There's a movie on those, too.
That's right. I just remembered.
A bonus movie.
You're just telling me. You're never going to watch that crap.
So when
I did put a movie on there.
Okay.
So
when I gave you
this, I am a horrible human and I might have encouraged this. But when Aaron was downloading the seasons for you, mm-hmm. legally, of course.
Is there any other way?
I thought it was the only illegal.
We might have also, it was right around when Batman vs. Superman was coming out. Okay. And you wanted to see it. So I had him go ahead and.
Shitty movie.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But Aaron found a porno version.
Yes, I did.
That we watched part
of Batman vs. Superman?
And so it's also
I renamed it and everything so it looks like Batman vs. Superman. That's like, oh, Juan's going to want to see this so bad. But
is this like The Hills Have Thighs?
Yeah.
How did you not ever watch that?
Because we haven't watched the thumb drive yet. We've never seen the Game of Thrones
because
yet.
Because he's too busy watching Grey's Anatomy.
I know, right? Aaron, you need to save me, dude.
So Aaron's trying to show me this, and he just keeps fast forwarding to the Harlequin. This is the proof
that we need to hang out more because she's getting me to watch Grey's Anatomy. So you need to help me.
Don't pin this on me.
No, we need to hang out more. Help me.
Oh, for the record, I was the one who said, oh my God, put that up once. Come drive.
Well, no. But I've
he's going to get mad. Hey, I'm like, no, it's funny.
I've been with you for 6 years. Doesn't surprise me, first of all.
I know. I'm a monster.
Yeah, so, but still.
But yeah, so there's some porn on
this,
too.
But I do
believe
you for the Grey's Anatomy. So
it's not my fault you got hooked. It's like my girly
It's really not her fault you got hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Just because I want to watch shitty TV doesn't mean you have to.
And I'm like, well, you got to watch your TV. And then when you try to go watch TV in the other room, you're like, TV, son. No, because then you get like, well, okay, fine. We don't got to sit together and watch TV.
I feel like
TV.
If we just sit here quietly and let this go, like one of them's going to storm out.
there is a pathological name for this.
Hey, I'm not taking advice from a tea drinker.
No, it's when.
Or a potato eater. No,
it's when people
like potatoes,
in wartime get. Well, maybe not wartime. I think it actually has to do with kidnaps. So kidnappees fall in love with their kidnappers.
Duh, dude. That's
what's going on here.
No, that's not even close to it.
He's falling in love with this Grey's Anatomy because you've held him captive to it.
That's a whole different syndrome for this guy. No.
Shit.
She has yet to watch Homeland,
Let me explain.
You're not to blame, Juan. You're a victim. I'm just saying.
Really, Tim Gunn? No.
Oh!
I ain't hearing you.
Touche.
So, here's the thing with Grey's Anatomy. Grey's Anatomy is this, like, terrible... I know that it's a terrible show, but it's this train wreck that you can't look away from.
You know, Tara Reid starred in
just,
that.
No, she's in, like, Sharknado.
She's not in that.
Fuck that shit.
Don't test me on Tara Reid.
Let's talk about my fiance's love of shark movies and every other shit.
Yeah, that's not anymore.
Yeah, thank you.
We did that.
We did that, right? Thank you.
You guys are all a bunch of haters.
You can at least watch Piranha. Come on.
I like that movie.
It's not sharks. That's all right.
It's not as good as Piranaconda, but it's good.
All right. Now is it time for the guest beer?
Lee. Look at him and want his beer now. Wow.
My favorite part is he might not even like this one.
It's like you took Viagra for beer. And you're like, there we go.
So I picked this up against my personal better judgment because I am not a necessarily Saison appreciator. I've liked a few. I've liked many, but not most.
Well,
but this is from Matchless.
So let me ask, have you had this beer before? Or this is a blind, all of us are trying it and go, here.
Very
here
blind for me because the label looks like it glows in the dark. So I was very excited
about it.
I've never
had it. So.
I had it.
Oh, have you?
What haven't you had?
Well, that's true.
Hmm. It's my job.
I know.
See, I picked this one up and we will see.
It is, she has tea at a bar.
True story.
It's a matchless Wolf Moon dry hopped fooder aged Saison.
Fooder.
And look at that. It's got a moon right
what
on
is,
it.
What is fooder aged?
You know so what a fooder is? Is yeah. You know those upright giant barrel looking things at breweries?
Yeah.
That's a fooder.
Oh.
Yeah, it looks like a 10-foot wide barrel.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Huh.
Go to Ruse, you'll see it right there. I think
they're
the
just
bar.
Starting to make shit.
Or the Freem.
Or the Freem.
She's lively.
It's clear and it's fizzy.
Give me your glasses. It's bottle conditioned. I don't want to tip it back up.
Gonna explode.
No, I just don't want to swirl the yeasties.
Yeasties, yeah, I heard that.
That's what they call it on my brewing game.
Thank you.
Yes, little yeasty stands.
Your brewing game.
I have a brewing app. Know.
Is it Fizz?
Yeah.
Yes.
Shout out to Fizz. If you want to waste a ton of your time, there's a weird home brewing app.
Thank you.
Called Fizz.
Lean.
Yeah.
And it's delightful.
Mm.
Skanky.
Is it effervescent?
No, it's skanky.
Yeah, it is skanky.
I mean, that's a gal that did not spritz her undies.
Lee.
Lee was so excited for this beer. I'm like, he's probably not even gonna like this shit.
Would you like a Pallet Jack, sir?
I would probably. Let me taste it first. Wow, that's got some.
Well, here's the thing. I've had many that's... beer that has smelled weird, but have tasted good.
Well, we'll find out. This definitely got a funk.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely tastes better than it smells.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. You know what it is. That's pretty nice.
I think it smells delightful. You guys are dumb.
That's actually really good. It doesn't
have fruity esters, Grace.
So come for the smell. Is there horse stay blanket? For the taste?
A little bit.
Or
a little more hey, there's horse blanket.
Don't come for the smell and just show up for the taste because it smells pretty.
Here, Lee, give me your glass. I'll give you some more. Let me swirl the yeasties.
I don't know. Last time you gave me that sour.
Put it right in the dangler.
Satan juice shot that was so sour.
You mean like that?
That's it. Look at that cloudy fucking mouth pucker.
Swirl it. Come on, Lee.
Actually,
it's a hello. You know what? Not bad.
I would buy this and I would drink it.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I figured Matchless wouldn't steer me too wrong.
I do like Matchless.
Yeah.
You know.
I would probably love this if I was a Saison drinker.
Yes.
Hmm.
See, I like Saisons, so.
And that's a good summer beer, man.
It's pretty good.
It's delightful.
Oh, Lee.
Also, the Matchless guys are rad.
Yep, yeah, and that is the Wolf Moon. It's a second release from their Moon Fooder Mixed Culture Program. The beer was first fermented with a pure culture Saison yeast, then allowed to rest for several months. With a blend of Brettanomyces. Oh, see, I don't pick up bread on this.
Oh, I do.
I do.
Well, it's not a super aggressive, like.
And then
a lot of times, Brett's that like really barnyardy. This is a little fruitier strain of.
Well, beer.
You know what this
Brett's
smells like?
One of my favorite things in beer, and I don't get it at all.
When I get up in there, and I smell that,
Jesus,
it absolutely. Reminds me of the after smell taste that you get from a porta potty.
Is it Candyland?
At a campsite.
Is it Candyland?
Or on the beach.
Yeah.
Candyland.
It's absolutely that porta potty. Yeah.
I can see that.
Campsite.
Not picking up what you're putting down? Mm. Nope.
Yeah. It's quite good, though.
It's good. It is.
Like the ending of this movie.
Well, we haven't even talked about what the movie is. We should probably discuss that a little bit in case, like, someone.
Yeah, let's throw down some content.
Just like, hey, we would like to know about the actual film.
They're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Drop some knowledge, bro.
Wow.
I don't know about that.
Juan's cut off.
No, he knows the shit.
Drop some knowledge, bro.
Military unit.
Yep.
Sent out on a training exercise against special forces. Encounters the remainders of the Special Forces team,
which did not succeed very good.
Which has been wiped out.
Yep. Which is nothing more than a few smears on the rock.
And Schmear. Exactly. And discovers at the same time that the Special Forces team was up to something. They've got nets and tranks and all sorts of things.
Stuff they're not supposed to have.
Sure, that why would you have if you were just out here on a, you know, team versus team kind of a mission? Mm-hmm. As movie goes on, we determine, I mean, there's no spoilers here. We determine that the Special Forces team had been sent out to capture and bring back a werewolf.
Right.
For military purposes. Which the
training team doesn't know.
Dog soldier.
Which, by the way, is 1/10 as super lame as it sounds. Because that sounds really dumb. Like, oh, a Special Forces team sent out to capture a werewolf and use it for military purposes. It's so not. Uh-huh. It's handled so above board and... Uh-huh. Very well, I thought. And it comes into this kind of amateur hour squad to save the day when they find out that there are more werewolves than they thought.
In fact, there's only one survivor of the Special Forces team.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be the, I don't know, sergeant or the captain
mm-hmm.
Who has some history with the main character from the trainee team. For lack of a better word, which they bring up in the beginning. So that's a nice little dynamic. But he's fucked up. He's like on death's door when they find him.
Yeah, and he is that alpha male, super bravado, super uncaring, total dick face.
Yeah.
As opposed to the person he has history with who is quite a good guy.
Yeah, wouldn't harm the hair on a dog.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's it. You've got a 50% of this film... is a shoot 'em up action military warfare movie. And the other 50% is what we always keep coming back to. It's a siege movie.
Yeah.
You're locked in a house and there's a force outside trying to get in, which
you got badassery.
It's like
action.
Grabbers, dude. Honestly, yes, it is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Well, I mean, you're stuck somewhere. So many films at their essence are that. It's just that siege.
And you would think you'd get old. It'd go old and you'd get tired, but they keep the pacing going and they even throw in some mystery there. Mm-hmm. You're like, okay, I'm engaged in like also the why of this. And then they get the proper hint of this really nice practical effects. Like a monster movie.
There's quite a few moments where I was... Even on this repeated viewing, just because it has been quite a while since I've watched it, which I don't know why, because I really like this movie. But there was a number of times when I was going, okay, this is a little far-fetched. This is a little... There were moments in the movie that kind of defied my...
Suspension of disbelief? Yeah.
I wasn't... And then it redeems itself. It pays off. And you go, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
You know, some people
case in point.
Grievous injuries. You're like, oh, that guy couldn't. And then later.
Right.
Yeah. So there's.
Or when the gal, Megan,
mm-hmm.
just so happens to be driving by when this ragtag team is now desperately trying to escape. And she's like, oh, fuck, come on.
Yeah, I'll save you from the middle of nowhere.
Let's go. Yeah.
Military guys.
You're like, what?
Also.
Totally has a reason.
Exactly. Which is. Great.
Yeah. So, yeah, I watching it last night, I was like, oh, man, I'm going to have to, like, kind of bash on this movie a little bit because there's a ton of shit going on in this that doesn't make a lot of sense and isn't believable, all of which was resolved.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my bad.
Although I will tell you, as the siege happens, so they get to this house and they lock themselves in, and apparently this gal has been doing research in the area for a number of years, so she kind of knows the area. And she
thought that's what they were for.
Yeah, yeah.
At the time, too. They're like...
Because she knows what's up. She has some suspicions about what's going on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Explains
why
she's
a zoologist.
She's a zoologist. Mm-hmm. She's she knows the neighbors, so she kind of like you're like buy in that she knows, you know, like where to get to the only house in, you know, miles and miles, and she knows the layout of the place because she's been living here and hanging with the locals. But there was still a couple of times while they were besieged that I kind of chuckled at, because they would board up the windows, and then every time a werewolf wanted to get in, bust through the boarded up windows like it was paper.
Oh, yeah.
But
then
they went and reboarded them up.
I thought about that, too.
It'll slow them down this time.
Yeah.
This time it's going to work, and it never did.
Yeah.
And also when they went and got the car, and they backed it up to the house and then just kind of hung out there for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody was, like, frantically trying to get load into the car. It just was like, I think military people would have a little bit more of a exit strategy. Yeah.
But I did like how they kind of cast this particular unit as a band of misfits right from the get-go.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're synchronizing watches, and one guy's like, oh, I forgot my watch. That's true. Yeah. They're like unpacking their stuff at a campsite, and one idiot like just dumps his entire bag all over the ground, and you're like, what the hell? So I do like how this is the B team,
which is kind of what they establish in the beginning with the main character and the special forces guy had a little bit of a history, and he sort of washed out because he wouldn't go that extra
and he just step kicked down a couple notches to this new team. One of the greatest things I think I've ever seen in a werewolf movie, and in a lot of movies, is a sword being rammed through a werewolf from the back, just right through the torso, shooting out his front, then having said werewolf bitch slap the guy and like jump out a window, and then proceed to have the sword sticking out of himself the entire rest of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was fantastic. And then there's a scene later with said sword. That is one of the more cringeworthy scenes.
Uh-huh. I could feel it splitting the teeth.
It's rough. I was like, oh, God, no, you can just stop showing me that.
Well, so with the werewolves, they don't just come across as these beasts, these, you know, ravenous beasts driven purely by, you know, primeval, you know, instincts. They're clearly, it reminded me of Aliens in the sense that they were thinking monsters
because
they cut the power.
Exactly.
They felt out the perimeter and looked for weaknesses.
They're out there kind of waiting for their time.
They do a distraction on one side of the house to do an entry on the other. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Which was super cool.
Well, and they push that into the audience's brain, too. They're constantly talking about the pack nature. Mm-hmm. And they have the zoologist to feed us tons of information about a pack. And she's like, well, in a wolf pack, they do this and this and this. And then you get to see all those things happen. So,
which is very cool. Feeding bullshit.
I started getting suspicious about her.
Wonder why.
Not early on, but maybe halfway in. I was like, she's got a story. Well, there's something more here.
And her story, and again, non-spoiler version, but her story was supposed to carry into the sequel to this film.
I just recently discovered there was supposedly a sequel.
And there was going to be a sequel. And Neil Marshall tried and tried and tried and tried. And he had it all planned out and where it was going to go. And it was part of a trilogy because that's what he really wanted to do. And I just found this out like a couple hours ago. But apparently there was a television episode made called Dog Soldiers Red.
Really?
And was going to be the bridge between this film and its eventual sequel because he kind of realized, well, the trilogy is not going to happen. And then that went nowhere, and then the sequel was washed.
Fucking Hollywood.
And he now says, get out of the way. Dog Soldiers is pretty much gone forever. But, yeah, it was gonna be more.
Yeah, it should have been.
But now I got to find Dog Soldiers Red because this thing was apparently made.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, well, as near as I can tell.
Depending on how...
anybody can find it, you can. So.
Well, depending on how deep we go into the spoilers, I can see why that would be. Because with that character, certain things happen to her. And certain things at the end of it are left unknown about her. They give hints, if you're looking really closely, about some wounds that you see.
Well, and they tried to wrap it up, but they did so with the scenes they had already filmed. Mm-hmm. They just edited them a little bit differently. So it's...
Because out of all these werewolves, there's still, if you count real closely, there's a werewolf missing.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah. And he gets by now just saying, well, that werewolf was in a location that we had certain things happen earlier and things like that. But yeah, it was supposed to lead to more, and I'm really sad it didn't. But apparently we're being told now that it's not going to. It's done.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
But it was a very cool cat and mouse game at the end, too, with a few remaining survivors really going to some extremes to... You know, because all of this takes place, I know, in the house, for the most part, in this large, you know, London cottage-esque type house.
Yeah.
Not a mansion by any means.
Middle of the woods, family homestead.
And so they're busting through walls and they're crawling under, you know, holes, and they're going down in the cellar, which I found out, by the way, the corpses that were in the cellar, those, to your point, you've been wanting to do Event Horizon.
I think it's probably going to be next. Yeah.
Those corpses were actually used in the movie Event Horizon.
Yeah.
Which also starred or had Mr. Pertwee in it as well. So, you know, those little factoids I think are so cool. But I love the cat and mouse part of it at the end where you're like, you know, kind of on the edge of your seat. When is it going to go south? Who's next? How are they going to get out of this? And one of those scenes was that sword through the chest part that came back at the end. And you're like, oh, God, that's cringeworthy.
I really enjoyed that this movie had what every movie has, which is, you know, you get to the end, you've got your survivors. They need a plan. They need some kind of a miracle to happen to escape the scenario they're in. So they devise said miracle, and it builds and builds and builds to the execution of this plan. And then we're basically told, like, nah, that's not it.
Yeah.
That didn't do it.
Yeah. Then somebody and comes up
the
and
whole rest of it.
Plays the fucking wild card, and they're like,
yeah,
M. Night Shyamalan, what the twist, you know?
I thought that was pretty great because, you know, you see that and you're already cheering. You're cheering and you're, yay, they did it. And no, they didn't. But, yeah, great gore, great action. When you can understand what they're saying, thank you, subtitles.
Yeah, I had to pull subtitles a few times.
Yeah.
See, you might be able to watch The Witch without subtitles, but I can watch this without subtitles.
Oh, yeah.
I
had to go subtitles on this one.
Oh, no, see.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
I was totally fine and understood them.
I was fine, too. Yes.
That's funny.
I wouldn't be surprised if you just replayed it under the pretense that you couldn't understand them just so you could hear it again.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I wouldn't do that, but I think I just hang out with too many...
The dynamics between all this unit, this military unit, was so good. And I guess Neil Marshall's dad was in the service, and he wanted to pay homage to that. And so he gave everyone that dark sense of humor and, you know, all that kind of dry wit and everything. And they're all very abusive verbally to each other.
Oh, like my family.
It was so good.
Holy shit.
It all smacked a very, very realistic. But, yeah, I was having trouble keeping up sometimes.
There was maybe one or two scenes where I was like, wait, what did they say?
Just right.
That actually surprised me.
I know, right?
I mean, The Witch, I was like, what the fuck did they just say? But this, I was like, oh, okay.
Actually, when I first put in my DVD, that was another reason we switched to the Amazon, because the DVD that I own only has Spanish subtitles.
That's super
and I was like,
weird.
What the fuck? Yeah, no other language subtitles, no closed captions, nothing.
The actual...
Well, you know, this DVD goes back to, what, 2003, whenever I got it, so... Yeah, I need to upgrade and get the Blu-ray. I think it'll look a lot better.
Yeah, I need to get it, too.
There's going
to
be a lot more, you know, features and things that I didn't have access to. And apparently the Blu-ray almost didn't happen because with independent films, there's no studio storing and cataloging and archiving... Oh. All your film. So when it came time to do a Blu-ray, they were like, we don't know of any existing anything. Oh, and they had to go on a big search to just find prints of the film. But luckily they did. So I need to get the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I love how many werewolf movies there actually are. If you stop and take a minute, you know, you can name a couple big ones that have gotten, you know, box office recognition, but it just goes and goes and goes and goes and goes. And that really got me thinking about, like, well, so werewolves have become so popular, but they've only been around since, like, the turn of the century, which completely isn't true. Werewolves apparently are they're noted in some of the most ancient texts, which is the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is 2100 BC.
Yeah.
And I had no fucking clue.
There's a very
that far back.
Interesting thing about werewolves versus ghosts or zombies or vampires or any of the other things in all their, you know, iterations. Werewolves popped up pretty much planet wide in every civilization before there was communication between those civilizations. I read this whole big story about it once that the whole thing of shape-shifting animalistic, you know, humanoids who prey on other humans is in every culture without being passed.
And that can only prove one thing.
That we're all scared of the unknown and the...
No.
Werewolves are real.
Werewolves are real.
You might be a werewolf.
Hey, nobody.
Minus the head on your hair, the hair on your head. the rest of you is fucking.
It's possible.
Lycanthrope. Yes.
Okay, this is true.
I would say that I actually.
Some serious knowledge.
If you give me a zombie, vampire, whatever movie. Mm-hmm. I like the werewolf movies. Honestly.
Yeah, I think
I really do like that. Whole
for me personally, and... next to scarecrows, because I don't know.
Well, those are really cool. Clowns. I love clowns. I love scarecrows. Those are the two things that I'm like. Those are really cool in the horror movie.
Yeah, werewolves are definitely top notch for me.
Yeah, and that'd be the right there with them. Yeah.
Well, and especially when they're treated in this fashion versus, like, say, Underworld, which was cool, but it's more of an action. I don't know, action esque.
It's a Kate Beckinsale movie.
Rather than the vicious beast based in, like, just centuries of culture.
Yeah, and that whole thing, I mean, being just such a... They were trying to shoehorn so hard into the White Wolf games, Vampire the Masquerade, the role-playing games that kind of came up with that entire scenario.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
There's a role-playing, like a Dungeons & Dragons style thing called Vampire the Masquerade, which then had which was werewolves, and then they had ghouls and ghosts, and they had magic and all sorts of things that added into it. And I know all this because I'm a giant nerd. When the first Underworld came out, I was like, this is a ginormous fucking ripoff of this world created by these other people. And it was so much, by White Wolf Games, and it was such a ripoff that they were actually sued and lost. Because they just lifted all that shit right off the pages of this role-playing game system.
You know Anne Rice, Vampire of Lestat.
So right? how do they make three sequels off it or four sequels off
it? Well, once they paid up, then...
Pay the royalties and say, fuck you.
You're good to go.
Yeah, I don't know who Anne Rice is.
So for me...
Yeah, but that's a lot like what this is, this role-playing game, if you think about that.
So Underworld never clicked for me because I already knew all this
as
something else before. But I could see them being very entertaining. I mean...
No, they were entertaining, sure. But I think this approach is much better, more... I don't know.
This is gritty.
Yeah, gritty.
Yeah, this is super real world and gritty and very isolated and alone. And it's not, you know...
Completely different movies.
Sure.
It's like, you know, Werewolf in London. Completely different. You know, Underworld was completely, like you said, action. Mm-hmm. Here's... box office, you know, let's get people here to look at the chick and let's just go for action and, you know, other shit. It wasn't like how Werewolf in London was, The Howling, you know, all this other shit. Yeah. You know, it was a little more deep and a little more, you know, I don't know. It went into the backstory a little bit more and stuff like that. It wasn't just like, here, let's go for the money, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you got your Ginger Snaps.
Which
is great.
That's awesome. A great movie.
Yeah, a very interesting spin on the whole mythos.
I never saw the sequels, though. I've only seen the original.
I've seen one of them, but not both.
Were they good or no?
It was.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah, it was right.
And I think one of the main differences is, like, something like Underworld, I feel like falls more into the sci-fi category than it does horror.
You know what? That's a fair...
Absolutely. It's a sci-fi adventure. Like, here's these vampires, here's these... werewolves, but they're not there to scare you. It's not there to terrify you. It's there to excite you and get you sucked in, and you're excited.
That's very true.
There's, you know, some really half-assed science behind it, and all this other bullshit. And then there's a girl in latex, and
it's kind of like a whole
different
go on
genre. Yeah, right.
It's like Blade for vampires.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It feels
like there for the blood and
it's
gore.
There for
and
fun there's nothing to scare you.
It's there to just. Like, here, we're going to kill a bunch of people, and this guy's
it's meant to be one thing, and everybody construes it as another, like Die Hard is an action movie.
It's a Christmas action movie.
Okay, now hold on. Bruce Willis himself.
Before we go down, let's not even go during his roast.
Made it perfectly clear that Die Hard was not a Christmas movie.
It's also not his movie.
Demi Moore fucked him up when they were married. Seriously, she fucked with his brain.
So
what it's actually like is it's like Alien and Aliens.
Absolutely.
Alien, total serious horror, movie. Aliens. Yeah. it's action.
Weird, yes, exactly. Action, yeah. Sci-fi situation.
Which, by the way, both phenomenal.
Both really good. Yeah.
Amazing.
But I feel like they fall into totally different genres.
Yeah.
Granted, after you watch Alien and Aliens, just don't watch the others. It's fine. I'm sorry.
I don't know. One really of them like the has a two. Great, like, salad shooter.
I'm not that guy. I am so on board with three.
That I...
Where it gets sucked out the hole.
Yes.
And I am
salad shooter
half
in the
on
theater.
Board with four.
I'm a horrible
really?
Person.
Really?
Yeah. I'm
just a Winona Ryder.
Four.
Four.
Okay, yeah. So four okay, is, I'll give you three.
That was it.
Number four was like
four is no. awful, but it's really
I
fun to make fun
hate
of.
Four.
Salad
it's
shooter.
Better than any of the new ones.
So, oh, absolutely. Well, also absolutely. Yeah. Number without three has its merit. I think the way they handled Lance Henderson.
Don't even try. Don't even. We're just going to call him Newt. We're just going to call him Lance.
We'll just call him Lycanthrope because yeah. apparently you can yeah. say that.
Lance H.
How they handled that storyline? Fucking stupid. However, it did give us. Another evolution of the alien creature was that it takes on the characteristics of its host, and they gave us the dog alien. I thought that was fucking cool, because that made you wonder, well, where the fuck was the space jockey, and where did this come from, and how is it human
still
form?
Haven't seen the newest one.
Don't.
Yeah, fucking just don't.
Is it worse than the fucking,
like, oh, no.
What's that one?
It's better than Prometheus.
Yeah, Prometheus is shit.
Oh, I never watched that either.
Oh, Prometheus is shit.
It's still not.
That's what I heard, that's why I watched
Prometheus. Absolute shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is there anything else we need to say about this movie?
Watch it, because it's really good.
It's pretty fucking rad.
It really is. I doubted. I was all ready to be like, oh yeah, we got to watch this movie because I freaking love it and it's so great and it's the best and oh yeah, I'm excited. And then we started watching it and I was like, I might totally be wrong. But I was not.
That's cool.
It's freaking awesome. Yeah, it's just, you know, it looks different and feels different than everything current.
It feels old.
Which is probably why it's good.
It's weird. It feels way older than early 2000s.
It really does.
Like,
yeah.
Go in with the vibe of, like, late 80s horror.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even earlier than that, actually. Yeah. But still, it's... Don't expect, like, crazy high-tech, super special effects craziness. It's very practical. It's very old school.
What I would say is, if you see Neil Marshall's name attached as the director,
just watch it.
Watch the movie.
Dude, it's rad.
Because
so
nine times out of ten,
Doomsday.
No, I was like nine times out of ten, it's gonna be great. I'm with him. I like Doomsday. It's good.
I gotta watch it. All right.
I've seen it several times.
I haven't seen it.
I wonder with this film, because this film was released without a U.S. theatrical run.
Huh.
It was supposed to have one. And
well, I watched it with you the first
like,
time because you had it on DVD.
Think so. So no U.S. theatrical run whatsoever. That's not true. It played like four or five shows at the Man's Chinese, like in L.A. or something like
that. Yeah, but it's not a... Yeah.
So I wonder if it had a complete theatrical run all across the United States, if it would be bigger than it is now or if it would be worse. Because it is a little... rough around the edges.
I feel like it's one of those movies that feels dated enough that the critics and the, I don't even know what to call them, the movie snobs.
That's it, yeah.
Would rip it to fucking pieces and say it's total garbage.
Yeah, I don't know.
Either that or they would think it was some sort of artistic masterpiece. There's no in between.
Well, like Donnie Darko, same thing. You know,
it
came out, it was squashed because of 9/11 and all that kind of stuff. And now it's like, you know, a huge underground cult classic because not everyone saw it. I think if you had released it in theaters, people would be talking about it
like,
the way they talk about.
This is fucking weird. What the fuck happened?
Yeah, all the movies they don't get. And they'd be like, this is stupid and it's boring and it's, you know, it makes no sense and it's dumb and the ending is stupid. All those things you see people saying about other movies.
Sure.
So I think
ironically,
maybe...
the only bunny that doesn't creep me out is that one.
Yeah, Frank.
Me and Aaron saw
like Frank.
Donnie Darko bunny on Halloween one year.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it's one of those. It's a very divisive style of filmmaking that
I think it's,
if it had had an official
I think
release,
if you
it could have been
really
a
are into horror and that genre, or whatever, and you appreciate the craft, I think you're gonna really like it. As opposed to people nowadays who just go to see a movie because they're going to go on a date and it's like, oh, this is going to be cool and I'm going to get close to some, you know, my significant other and whatnot. And just be like, no, because it's not in theater. I think if you really appreciate horror, you'll appreciate this movie.
Yeah, if you're in it for jump scares and CGI,
exactly,
this is not your jam.
No.
This one's got a lot of good
I mean, it's got some good stuff.
Little jump moments, though.
Yeah. No, it totally does have jump moments, but by the jump scare CGI thing, you know, the crowd that's going and seeing, you know, that they're only wanting to see, you know, like Conjuring stuff.
If you want to see, or
where it's very predictable. This is what you're in for. This is what you're going to get. This is one of those movies that when you go in to watch it, you're not really sure where the hell it's going for quite a while. I mean, you know it's a werewolf movie. You know it's a monster movie. But you're like, what the fuck? Yeah, where is this going?
The whole time you're watching
werewolves
chase them through the forest was very interesting. Because they're just running through the forest, literally being chased by werewolves, just shooting hundreds of rounds at these things. And they're getting picked off, you know, one by one at a time. And you're kind of like, is this movie only a half hour? Because these motherfuckers are going to die any second now.
Well, and I feel like that carries over to when they're in that house, which seems big, but then it gets very small when they're trapped in small quarters. And these guys, you know, it's this weird trapped tension thing of, you know, here's these guys trapped in a tiny ass bathroom with a werewolf coming after them. And what do? And, you know, usually in horror movies, you just, you know, they're hunkered down and freaking out. No, these guys are freaking soldiers. So they're busting through walls and making it a lot more interesting. And
yeah, that part was really cool.
They're doing a lot of shit that you wouldn't think of doing. But because they're soldiers and they're trained to think, you know, how do I get out of this really shitty, tight situation? Because that's what we do. You know, whether it's shooting through the floor to go down to the floor below you or punching through a wall like a fucking wacko. Like, but it's this constant, it's that cat and mouse thing that you were talking about. But I think it gives it more interest because it's super simplified. Like, the sets are really simple. You're trapped.
Yeah.
And it gives you that enclosed, like, tense feeling of what the fuck is happening. And it's not predictable like a lot of the newer horror movies are. Sure. So for its kind of age, I think it's got some cool things going on that people might not realize. Oh, well, this is going to be the end result. It wasn't one of those movies that the first time I watched it, you know, 10 minutes in, I had it figured out. I'm like, oh, well, this is going to happen. You know, that chick's dead, whatever. Which I feel like happens with a lot of the new movies. I think it keeps you guessing a little more.
Mm-hmm. Plus the fact that the werewolves are nigh invulnerable.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing they can do.
Oh, my God. Yeah. They keep... I don't know how many rounds they shoot into these stupid werewolves, and they're... fucking fine.
Oh, yeah.
They just rally. They're just like, whatever.
They're cutting werewolf arms off and like stabbing werewolves in the chest.
Throwing
them
out windows.
Yeah.
These fuckers don't die.
Yeah.
Nope.
So.
I like the werewolf that got the boiling pot of water in the face. That seemed like it affected them the most.
Sure. He was real mad.
He was.
Oh, yeah.
He was real mad.
Oh, the werewolves, though. Oh, man. Every time I think about it, I just picture them like walking in the room and it's so powerful. I guess they got dancers to be the werewolves because
that makes sense.
He wanted people that were super good at movement to do the creatures versus like a stuntman or somebody like a monster in a suit guy.
That's genius. I like that.
And it paid off because they're kind of graceful and they're extremely menacing even when they're not even moving. Super good creature design.
Yeah, another surprising good werewolf movie. Put it on your put it on your list, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, some pretty good.
Give us another howl.
Pretty good wins there.
One more howl. There it is. Yep. Well, I think we called it. I think
Shit, back in the day, Wolfman Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
God, yeah.
Lee, that was back when you were a teenager.
I knew the Wolfman Jack.
Yeah, you knew him personally.
Oh, God.
Yep, I heard him on the radio, man. Yeah. I saw him on the TVs.
Lee's the one that bit him and turned him.
That's why you were wrestling in the yard. Grass?
Yeah, he was one last, shirt off.
One last point. I'm glad you brought that up because there's all kinds of ways.
We were almost done here. Juan had to derail.
This one's cool, though. This one fits right in to the whole Dread, Fright, and Brew thing. Because we're talking about like werewolves, right? We're talking about how they get turned into it. Some people say putting a leather wolf belt around your waist. You know, some people say getting bitten. Some people, that's one of the things.
Wait, what?
No,
that's not a thing.
I don't want to know what the fuck.
Go back to ancient text. That's one of the things.
By wearing a belt.
By wearing a wolfskin belt.
Who the fuck would make a belt out of wolf skin?
I'm just saying it's like what they believed when you thought the world was flat. That's one of the things.
It is flammable.
Getting cursed, right? Getting
bit. Or that potatoes are healthy for you, just on a potato diet.
That's but, right, yeah. But the boiling the starch right out right, of it. Right, yeah. It's totally fine.
Not only do wolves aren't able to look up or smile, but they can't digest potatoes. Mm. But
makes sense.
The best one ever is that in the 16th century, there is a Swedish writer named Olaus Magnus who says that the Lyvivian werewolves were initiated by draining a cup of specialty prepared beer while recanting a special phrase.
Yeah.
So, pretty badass 16th
which
century.
Which is pretty badass.
Werewolf.
Let me counterpoint that. In this particular film, Dog Soldiers, when one of the soldiers starts to become a ginormous bitch, what do they tell him to do? Put on a fucking pot of tea.
They solve all their problems in with some loose leaf tea, bro.
In this film. No.
Only
no,
when
no,
he's
no.
being a bitch.
Just the super bitch one, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
He had to do his herbal mouth douche. So there you go.
No, I'm glad we came all the way around for that.
Yeah, full circle.
Thank you, Lee. Super good. Thank you.
It's it's what I do.
I really like this movie. It's not on the quality of some of the other ones we've done as far as like, you know, cinematography and sound and all that kind of shit.
I ain't watching the fucking Oscars, dude. Yeah. I just want to fucking
It doesn't matter. It's so entertaining.
It is. It really
so
is.
So good.
So watch Dog Soldiers.
Watch it.
Yep.
Dead.
Yep.
Hmm.
All right.
I don't know about that.
Oh, so, put on a big
that was for
blouse.
Did you say what?
Nothing.
What?
Peace.
He's saying a line. He's trying to get out of it. Peace. Cheers. We're done, right?
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Let's be done.
All right. We're done.
Okay.
Until next time.
Am I now? Blue, ha, ha, ha.